Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. They're both from Brooklyn, New York. They're about the same age, took very different paths in life. Part two now of my sit down with Michael Franzese and Curtis Sliwa. So, Curtis, in 1979, when you put together the Guardian Angels, which I don't know how you did it with no arms. I mean, you had arms, but you guys weren't armed. And you said, we're going to take on crime. We're not vigilantes. We just love the city. You often tell me that you bleed NYC, you know, red, white, and blue. So what makes you think that you can put together a crime-fighting organization with a bunch of guys with berets on and be as successful as you were? And were you at all mindful of what the mob was doing in New York at the time?
Oh, you couldn't escape what the mob was doing because it was Fear City. They had complete control of all the rackets, private sanitation, you name it, even just from getting knives sharpened to getting linen done. I mean, they were getting a piece of the action on everything, and they were making it well known that they were in control. And remember, they were celebrated figures written about in the newspapers. They were on television. And so there was a fear of them. So I come out of Canarsie, Howard Beach, East New York, where there was a legacy of them. And they'd always tell me, oh, you know, the neighborhood was so much safer the mob controlled it. I said, what are you talking about? People were having their trucks broken into. Cars were being stolen left and right. I said, look, we used to joyride in cars that we were hotwire, and then we'd park them to the side, and the person who had them eventually would recover them. There was probably no damage.
Right.
But then they elevated it. A guy like Roy DeMeo would encourage my friends all of a sudden. He'd say, hey, what are you hotwiring that old 88 for? You know, a joyride. Hey, those parts are valuable. Here's an address. If you can find this make and model, the IROC Camaro, you can bring that to this location on Avenue D. There's a lot of moolah shmoolah. There's a lot of shimolis for you. And then all of a sudden, my friends, they were abandoning ship. Next thing they had on the polyester, waffle weave, flame-retarded pants, and the platform shoes. They were at discos, Romeo and Juliet's, 2001 Space Odyssey, doing lines of cocaine, chasing skirts. And there was no more stickball, boxball, Johnny on the Pony, Buck, Ring of Leo for them.
Right.
It was all about cash and chasing trim.
And at that point, you said, I have to do something about this. I can slow it. Well, Michael, let me ask you to respond to that. Did the mob really feel like the streets were safer when you guys were in control? Or you gave the impression that it was safer as you were collecting the protection money? How did that work?
Yeah, our neighborhoods were safe. I mean, you know, I remember growing up in Greenpoint, you know, you leave your doors open, your windows open, you know, you didn't have to lock them. I mean, my sister would come home 12:01 in the morning, people would, you know, surround her and make sure she got home okay. So, I mean, our own neighborhoods were safer. You know, what we were doing on the outside was a little bit different, but our neighborhoods were safer. You know, just to add something to what Curtis said, I had in the 70s, I had some apartments in Glen Oaks because I had a big construction job that I was doing there. We were the GCs. I had the union. We controlled the union. And I had two Jaguars parked outside of the apartment complex. And one morning I come up and they're both gone, right? They're stolen. So I made a few phone calls because I knew DeMeo and his crew, you know, were hijacking these cars. And by about 4 o'clock that afternoon, I got them both back. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, they were taking cars left and right at that time, you know, all the valuable ones. But, you know, again, I mean, I guess because I was part of it, I didn't look at, I mean, we weren't part of the street crime. At least we didn't feel we were. I mean, you know, I was in a little different category, too. I wasn't out there hijacking trucks and doing things like that. I had more of a business mind. And I was, you know, I was defrauding banks. I was doing things like that. Obviously, you know, I defrauded the government on that whole gas tax scheme. But, yeah, there was guys on the streets running around doing things, you know, like Curtis described. I mean, you can't sugarcoat that. It was happening, no doubt.
It is Michael Franzese. Curtis, go ahead.
Just to mention what Michael was saying about stealing cars, I remember one time being with Patty, Joey Testa, Anthony Centaur. They stole the Eldorado. Back then, Cadillacs, Fleetwoods, Eldorados, that was the bomb to steal that. Take it to their chop shop, which was over near the Canarsie Market, change the VIN numbers, you know, just recustomize it, sell it to some Gavone. Then they would follow the Gavone, would drive it to his place of business, usually like a fruit market or some kind of retail establishment. And then they'd freaking steal the car again, bring it back to the chop shop, and then sell it to some other Gavone. And they used to do this and to get their jollies off from doing this.
So when you put, let me again say who you're hearing for those who are listening on the radio. It's Curtis Sliwa, Sliwa4NY.com, Sliwa4NY.com. Support his candidacy. He's running for mayor of New York City. I hope he wins. Also the founder of the Guardian Angels, great talk show host. On the other side, it's Michael Franzese, former Copper Regime, the Colombo crime family, now a pastor, now a motivational speaker, an author, a movie maker. He does it all. Go to MichaelFranzese.com and become a member of his crew. So it was circular crime that was going on that they were causing themselves, and it kept them in the money constantly and obviously kept the money flowing in. You made the decision in 1979, enough is enough. So how do you start that? Do you start it thinking to yourself, I've got to cut down on the crime in my city. We got to go after the mob. Was it all in one? Crime is crime. Doesn't matter who's doing it. And what made you think you could succeed?
Well, I was in the heart of the hood, the Bronx, the South Bronx. So the Italians lived over near what we call the neck. Throg's Neck. You had Hello Gorgeous Vinny Bassiano, who was a hairstylist and was like one of the upper echelon of the Bonanno crew at that time. And then you had Arthur Avenue and Belmont, the Little Italy section. But I was in the heart of the hood, predominantly black and Hispanics. Crime was off the hook. There was arson. There was abandoned buildings. There were youth gangs, all who were wearing these cutoff Lee jackets with rockets and patches, savage skulls, savage nomads, black skulls, and black spades. And I was a night manager of Mickey D's, and I'd have to take the train late at night all the way back to Brownsville. Never ran, never will. Not far from where Mike Tyson grew up. That was a rough neighborhood. And I remember on the trains, there'd be these guys, they'd be singing doo-wop and a cappella in the wee hours in the morning. And I'd say, oh, wow, you know, subway music, right? I couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. They would come into the subway car. They had the name buckles at that time, the turned around sheepskin coats. And they'd be screaming at everyone, Manhattan makes it and Brooklyn takes it. Wow. And then they would scope in on you. And if you punked out, if all of a sudden they saw you getting scared, they would surround you. And like a scene out of Clockwork Orange, they beat the hell out of you and then take what few valuables you had. I always would preemptively strike. Yeah. Having grown up, having to run through the phalanx of all these wannabe mobsters in Canarsie, I realized you better hit first, hit them so hard their mother feel the vibrations, and then get the hell out of there. Because once you're on the ground, they give you a beat down, boots to the back of your head. You know, your head would be spinning as if you had vertigo. So I used the very same tactics on the trains and then eventually encouraged black, Hispanic, whites, Asians to join me. And that's how the patrol began. But you said, we were labeled as vigilantes, Hell's Angels.
Right.
I got locked up 76 times in the first 13 years of running the Guardian Angels. And when Rudy Giuliani got elected mayor in 1992 and gave the city a badly needed colonic, he called off the police who were harassing us. So as Michael says, I didn't grow up liking cops. I got wooden shampoos, concrete facials, attitudinal readjustments. I laugh when they talk about going to jail, you know, all the progressive Democrats now. I was on Rikers Island. I was locked up in all these joints, 40 guys to a dormitory looking to give me a beat down all the time. And I would say, hey, CO, am I going to get arraigned yet? They said, don't worry about it. We're not up to S yet, Sliwa. You still got some time in here. That was rough with a capital R.
It's Curtis Sliwa, Sliwa4NY.com. Michael Franzese, MichaelFranzese.com. Michael, were you aware of the Guardian Angels when they started? Have you and Curtis met before right now, by the way? Do you guys know each other?
I was on Curtis' show a couple of years back.
Nice.
On the radio. Yeah.
So when the Guardian Angels started, does the mob take any notice at all or, whatever? How long did it take before there was an impact made in organized crime by the fact that there were some good guys on the street really looking to stop crime?
Yeah, we took notice. I mean, I don't remember the exact timing, but you got to understand this. You know, as far as I can remember, now I don't know if Curtis had any other, you know, instances, but we were never against the Guardian Angels. You got to understand something. We didn't like street crime if we weren't doing it because we had wives and daughters and relatives and families. And, you know, you got to understand, Curtis described the Bronx was a war zone. I mean, we used to go there to, you know, dump people there and get rid of it. It was a war zone back then. And the whole city was in bad shape, you know, until Giuliani came in. And so what Curtis was doing, we appreciated it in a way. I never heard any negative stuff about the Guardian Angels, honestly. Like, again, you know, maybe he heard it from elsewhere, but certainly the circle that I was surrounded in, we didn't say anything bad about them. We appreciated what they were doing.
Michael, such a mob mentality. I mean, think about what you just said. We didn't like street crime unless we were doing it. I know that your perspective is so different now, right? I mean, you live your life in such a pristine way, and I appreciate our friendship. But my God, can you remember having that perspective? We're against street crime unless we're doing it. Come on.
Yeah, you know, I can. And I got to be honest, just listening to Curtis, this is very nostalgic for me because it brings me back to that era. You know, when you're out of it for so long, you're not thinking about it. But when I hear Curtis, the way he talks, and obviously he lived it, and it's very nostalgic. But he's right on everything he's saying. I mean, it was a tough place. I will tell you this. I came into New York in the federal marshals were bringing me in for a hearing. I think it was 94, 95. I don't remember exactly. But we had to go to court. And we were early. So I asked the marshals, we're in the car. I says, hey, we got some time before we got to appear. They said, yeah. I said, drive me around the city. I haven't been here in a while, right? I'm out in California. I was doing all that jail time. And we go into Times Square. I said, I want to do two things. Drive me around the city. And I want to get a really decent cup of coffee here. You know, we hadn't had coffee like out in the coast like that. And they drove me through Times Square. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how Giuliani had cleaned up Times Square. Joe, when I grew up, it was Smut City. I mean, that's all it was. You know, my whole life, I knew it as that. And when I saw what he did to it and how he revitalized it, I mean, that was the first indication to me that, wow, this guy is doing an amazing job. And prior to that, remember, Giuliani was my enemy. Yeah. Tried to put me in prison for 50 years. So I even appreciated the job that he was doing as mayor. So the point is, we didn't want to see guys on the street committing crimes. We didn't want all that. Again, unless we were doing it, you know, we wanted the city cleaned up.
That is Michael Franzese, michaelfranzese.com. Also, Curtis Sliwa here, sliwa4ny.com. Go and support his candidacy. So, Curtis, is that what it was, the sea change between the cops hating you guys and then you working in conjunction with the cops once Giuliani came into office? Then you could really sort of clean the city up on steroids. What Michael saw certainly was a reflection of Giuliani and Bernard Kerik, and I'm guessing also you. Was that sort of the triumvirate that was made, you, Bernie, and Rudy, where you work together? Because why you have an animosity-based relationship with the cops if you're cleaning up the streets? I'd never understood that.
Well, actually, he was U.S. Attorney of the Southern District at the time. Rudy, he hadn't been elected mayor yet. And as you remember, he took out the five heads of organized crime.
Right. That's it for part two of my special series with Michael Franzese and Curtis Sliwa. One is a born-again Christian, former mobster. The other, running for New York City mayor and the founder of the Guardian Angels. Part three on Monday on the Joe Pags Show.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.